Live from the biggest small town in America.
This is WGN Chicago, radio home of millions throughout mid-America.
Radio? Well, radio became the Pied Piper to a strange new world.
Time to climb up on our big shoulders and get inside our massive heart.
This is the Saturday Night Special with Amy Goof.
Remember the fun skills we'd pick up from summer camp as kids? Not academic skills by any stretch, but nonetheless, fun skills that engaged us and helped us to build confidence. Indeed, my own grandfather's told me many times that he believes the secret to his impressive longevity lies in part to being a lifelong learner, not just of dense academic topics, but also skills, including skills that are sometimes just for fun, like back in summer camp. So, for as much emphasis as we put on professional achievement, let's also acknowledge the joy that comes from the just-for-fun aspirations that we have too, like playing an instrument, learning a language, or running a race. While sometimes a hobby is just a hobby, sometimes there's a bigger thing prompting us towards these lighter pursuits, a small voice inside us pushing us to want to run literally to or from something in our lives, or drawing us to learn a language perhaps spoken by our ancestors, or to fill our lives with music of a certain instrument, and we don't quite know why other than the sound of it moves and inspires. And in an era of social media and the gig economy, are we even more likely to jump to different hobbies because our attention spans are shrinking? Or are we simply more aware of the inspirational things our friends are doing, and thus we're more likely to try out new things ourselves? That's the idea for this evening's discussion. We have a great group of esteemed guests with us. Saya Hillman, a woman who's made a career and built an empire out of charging at both fear and joy, full steam ahead, will join us this hour to talk about the things that prompt us to seek out new skills. And in the next hour, we'll be joined by USAT triathlon coach who's trained over 2,500 people to compete in races and complete them successfully, and who's personally competed in the Kona World Championships, Jennifer Harrison, and local musician and musician instructor for guitar, five-string banjo, and mandolin, Chris Waltz, from the iconic Old Town School of Folk Music, to look at the very, very practical application of this big idea of new skills and skill building long after we've put our learning muscles to rest after we get out of school formally. But we'll be looking at the very practical application of this as it relates to building, respectively, both physical and cognitive skills as we take on the things on our bucket lists. I'm Amy Guth. Rachel Woodall will be the kind voice on the other end of the line when you call us tonight at 312-981-7200 to share your comments throughout the show. But you can also find me on Twitter and Facebook and contribute to the conversation by social media. It's time for the Saturday Night Special on WGN. For this evening's episode, we're taking a philosophical look at the notion of lifelong learning. WGN. It's Amy Guth here on the Saturday Night Special. Thanks for being with us tonight and sharing your Saturday evening with us. We are most grateful. So tonight, my friends, we're talking all about lifelong learning. We're talking about skills that we pick up as an adult, things we seek out, but we're talking about fun stuff. We're not talking about job stuff. That's easy. That's something we got to do sometimes. Sometimes our bosses make us do that, but we're talking about the fun things, the things that fill us with joy and sometimes a little bit of dread when we run straight at them. We're talking about things on our bucket list, right? So we're taking your calls 312-981-7200 to talk about those things, but we have our very good friend and regular contributor to the program, Saya Hillman, is here. She is a woman who has literally built an entire career and empire out of running straight ahead at fear and tackling it really wonderfully, joyfully, and aggressively. And we're always happy to have you here, Saya.
Thank you for having me.
Certainly. So tonight, as we're talking about this idea of picking up new skills as an adult, that's something that you do a lot of in your business. And you can read all about these things at macandcheeseproductions.com, because there are many, many things that you do and have done that really cut to this idea of picking up new skills or challenging yourself to do and be more. But talk to us a bit about how your particular programs really draw that out of people the most.
Sure. I think one of the main things that I've noticed over the 12 years of doing Mac and Cheeseness is that people feel that they are the only person who has this source of shame as far as I don't know how to ride a bike, I don't know how to swim, whatever it is. And one of the things that I try to let people in on is that as long as you have that courage, and it takes a lot of courage to voice, I don't know how to swim, that the whole room will then raise their hands. And maybe they know how to swim, but they don't know how to do something else that's really scary for them. And so having a voice, being vulnerable, so that's what a lot of my events, or all of my events, strive to create a atmosphere and environment which encourages people to have that voice. And again, that is so scary to say mm-hmm. something, especially as, you know, as an adult that you have been, a lot of us keeping inside for years and years and years because it's a source of shame and things that, oh, you know, everybody knows how to do this. I heard you talk about, you know, the comparison society that we're mm-hmm. in. It seems like everybody knows how to do something. And then we get in our own heads and just, you know, make it worse and blow it out of proportion.
Sure. I've long thought that so many great friendships were born out of the single phrase of, I thought I was the only one.
Yes, absolutely.
Right? There's so many times you see people bond over, oh, you're scared of that, I'm scared of that, or I don't know how to do that either. And it's interesting, and I've always admired when people take on those things really publicly. And I think that's an interesting time we're in with social media. I have a friend that's right now in her mid to late 30s learning to swim. And she's being pretty public about it. She's like, you know what? I just never was around. I never had the opportunity. Mm-hmm. You know, her parents really pushed her academically and they were like, no other stuff, just the books, please. And so that was just something but she's getting so much joy out of it. And that's part of kind of why I've been thinking about this so much and wanted to talk about this tonight, because I think it's really interesting that as we take on new things, you know, the confidence that we get from having those new skills.
Or, and even if you fail at the new skills, I think there is something to, at least I tried. For me, that's actually what drives me. It's not the, I hope, I always tell my Cheez-Its, I call the people that do my things Cheez-Its, I always tell them to be experience focused, not results focused.
That's smart.
Enjoy the actual thing that you're doing and do not worry, are you going to be the best swimmer, the strongest swimmer, whatever it is, because then you're going to take the joy out of it completely from the start. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's the feeling that when I am on my deathbed, I think that the worst feeling that I could experience would be the what if, regret. Yeah. I wish I had tried. And so even if I fail, if I try something, that's absolutely not failure.
So there's been so many people that have come through your different programs and touched Mac and Cheese Productions in so many different ways. Is there maybe a theme or a couple of themes that you hear from people when you ask them, you know, what was the catalyst for you that made you want this new skill to challenge yourself? Because your programs, you've challenged people to sing in public, to dance in public. Let's see, there's a lot of stuff that you've challenged people to put your technology away for a weekend and talk to strangers. There's really interesting programs that you do. But have you heard any through lines about the thing that, why right now? What made them sign up right then?
Sure. A few things. One is I'm 37 and I feel at this age, a lot of my peers are going through or seeing their friends making huge life changes. So whether that's pregnancy, moving to Schaumburg and buying a house and, you know, having babies, moving to a new city, trying to find a new career path, all these. So a lot of people, if they are not experiencing that big change and they feel kind of stagnant, that's why a lot of people come to me, is that they're looking for something to kind of break up the mundane. And so I think where you are in your life, as far as are your friends, your peers, your coworkers, are they experiencing a lot of big positive things and you're not? That's why a lot of people come to me. And also I feel that people are really I think a lot of times we talk about this social media society being bad as far as comparison goes, mm-hmm. but I also think it can be a really good thing too, is that you see all of these other people doing these things and it inspires you. And one of the main reasons people give for doing my events is finding their tribe, finding their community, making friends. That's something that we don't really talk about as an adult, is, you know, making friends as an adult. And so people finally get sick of not having other fun, positive, spontaneous people to go out with. Well, maybe they actually have a great set of friends, but all their friends are improvisers or singers or financial analysts, and they want people outside of those worlds. Or maybe they realize that their friends are friends of circumstance and convenience. And, you know, maybe they have 7,000 Facebook friends, but how many of them are actually friends of right. yours, right? So looking for genuine, authentic relationships with people. Mm-hmm. And when you are doing something that's scary or something that you're embarrassed about, having that tribe of people there to support you and challenge you and cheerlead you is great. But also having people who will jump in and say, I'm scared too. I'll do it with you.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Yeah, let's hold hands and jump off this ledge Absolutely. Together of this thing that we're learning together. Well, you touched on social media, which I think is interesting as we think about people. People, you know, we see things like Dabble, which is a, you know, kind of an interesting platform where you can kind of drop in and pick up a skill set for pretty inexpensively. You know, most of the classes are about $20 to $75, mm-hmm. I'd say even $20 to $50 usually, where you can just kind of drop in and learn, you know, just knitting for 2 hours, just a little bit to see if you like it, literally dabble in it. And you've done a couple of, you've been an instructor through Dabble a couple of times. But, you know, I can't help but wonder if this idea of people wanting to try a lot of things, is that a result of we're looking at social media, so we're seeing a lot of people trying a lot of different things, and it's a little bit of a fear of missing out? Or is it that, or is it a lot more positive and more simple than that? Is it really that we have more access to more things? And so we both want to not miss out, but then we also just kind of want to touch a lot of different points.
Yeah, well, my life of yes philosophy there would be looking at it in the positive way, being that there is just so, it feels like there's so much more access, and that because of the internet, that we are just, we see it all the time. And then we're also able to take part in a lot of it, even if, you know, we live in a different city, online courses, and we are able to have that, again, that community too, that if you try something that's scary, you have these, you know, this group of people who you can talk about it with as well. So I actually think it's a positive thing that people are jumping from thing to thing. And I, one of my favorite things, one of the best decisions I think I made as an adult as far as finding a thing to do in a community, it was volunteering with Chicago Cares, which is an amazing nonprofit that has something for everybody. You know, any type of area you want to work in, homelessness, working with kids, working with domestic violence, the environment, et cetera, and they have something every day of the week. And I really didn't know right when I graduated and moved back to Chicago after school in Boston, I didn't know what would be the thing for me. And so one of the things I liked about Chicago Cares is that for a year, every single week I tried a new volunteer project, and I thought that was a really positive experience until I found one that I loved. And then for the next 5 years, I was a coordinator of a Saturday program at Englewood Elementary School. Mm-hmm. But I really appreciated the fact that they let me dabble in all these different ones and find the one that fit, because that's a win-win situation. They want people to do their programs who are, 100% full steam ahead, and this is the program for them. Whereas, you know, if they make you jump through all these hoops and you have to go through this huge training and all of that. So I think there's a lot of programs out there that have taken on a Chicago Cares-esque type mm-hmm. attitude where, you know, let you dip your toe in the water and see what's your best fit. And then hopefully you'll want to stick around.
Definitely. And it almost seems like it's a personal, the personal end of the spectrum on the idea of the gig economy, where a lot of people are doing a lot of different things, and there are less people just having the one job forever, and you retire from the company where you start. It seems like there's a lot more entrepreneurial efforts, but on the personal side, I think it's kind of sparking this idea of people trying on a lot of hobbies, which is pretty cool, because it feels like summer camp. You know, as I mentioned in the first segment, it does have this kind of cool summer camp vibe right now, where you do learn, you know, you had like in the morning you had to make the little, like the pot holder with the woven stuff, and then you had to make something out of sticks, and then you had to make like a cook something, or, you know, you left summer camp with a lot of skills,
yes.
which I think is very cool. But you do an adult summer camp as part of your program, which is very cool.
Yeah. I mean, and you hit upon it, the whole nostalgia people. And that's actually what I found was so sad, that all these people, when I talked to them, they would be so nostalgic for what used to happen. It's like, just because you're 30, 35, 40, 50 doesn't mean you can't have that play, the no judgment, the carefreeness, the working with your hands. That was something that really drove me as far as wanting camp again was I love the computer. I love technology. I use it all the time, but I missed actual physical things and tactileness and making products. And it's a great way to shut off your brain. And I think that's why adult coloring books are all the rage these days, right? So with camp, we We basically kidnap you for the weekend. We take you to an unknown destination, and you have to come by yourself. And it's you don't know what you're going to be doing. It's unplugged, as you mentioned. We take away your phone, and you get in an unmarked white van. So it's completely
scary. What could possibly go wrong?
Exactly. We have lost nobody. We've brought everybody back, though. But and you know, the main reason most people give for wanting to come is wanting to get away and to be in that safe environment and to learn new skills, to also rediscover themselves. A lot of people, it's so easy to, you know, to lose yourself in routines and bills and, you know, reviews at work and all that jazz. So it's good to be, I think that's what the summer camp vibe is great for, is letting people let go of judgment of themselves, of other people, learn new skills. And especially, you know, these, we're talking about skills that a lot of people feel like they should have learned at an earlier age. And again, there's that source of embarrassment and shame. So creating that environment where it doesn't matter, that's all right, that you mm-hmm. don't know how to do X, Y, Z. Here's this amazing supportive group that is going to love you no matter what and support you no matter what.
So as we're talking, though, about things that are fun and hobbies like the adult coloring book and crafts and, you know, goofing around and things like that, do you find that there is a professional benefit to taking on these things?
Interesting. Absolutely. I actually feel, you know, I think that every area of your life touches other segments of your life. So professional, spiritual, romantic, social, all of that. So the happier you are in one, you know, the happier you are in all the other ones. And, you know, we were talking about play and letting go of judgment. And the first thing I think of is improv. And I know you and I have talked about improv before, and that I talked about Chicago Cares being one of the top decisions I made as an adult. Forcing myself to take an improv class was another one of the top decisions I've made as an adult, because it completely hits upon that letting go and judgment and just being in the moment. And I think that professionally, that was one of the best things I have ever done, is working on confidence and just not caring a lot, you know, just pretend fake confidence a lot of the time. It doesn't matter that if you aren't really confident, but, you know, I walk into a boardroom or in front of investors and I just pretend that I should be here. I should be at the head of the board table. But that's what improv taught me to do. And so absolutely, I think all these skills, you know, they make you a more complex, interesting person too, I think. And one of the things I've noticed over the years, one of the main issues people want help with is small talk, conversation, how to have a conversation, how to introduce myself, how to not be that person everybody wants to get away from at the party. And I've learned that improv and actually and just all these different skills, the more you have going on in your life, the more things that you're trying, even if you're fail. I mean, what a wonderful story to talk about how you tried something and you were scared and you failed at it. I mean, that's a great conversation starter. Absolutely. So yes, it totally affects in very positive ways, I think, your professional life.
We're talking all about learning new skills as an adult, but we're not talking about the professional ones. We're talking about things that we do just for fun, those kind of fun and scary goals that we have. We're talking all about that tonight. And we're talking with regular contributor to this show, Saya Hillman, who has made a career out of taking on fear and tackling it. So we'll be right back here in just a bit to keep this conversation rolling on. WGN. Hey, it's Amy Guth here on the Saturday Night Special. Thanks for spending part of your Saturday with us. We are most grateful. We're talking tonight all about the idea of learning new things as an adult, but we're not talking about work skills. We're talking about the fun things that we just want to do as a hobby, or things that we want to do just for fun to get something off of our bucket list. It's kind of the reason why those adult coloring books are going so well. I think we all kind of want that. We want a little more play and a little more fun and a little more joy in our lives. So we're talking about all of that good stuff tonight on the show. And so right now we have our good friend and regular contributor, Saya Hillman, in the studio with us. And we've been talking all about the idea of pushing yourself to try new things and take risks. Saya has built a career quite literally out of tackling fear and confronting it and jumping over it. And she does a lot of really cool events that you can check out at macandcheeseproductions.com. There's very cool events. There's something sort of like a reading series that I was in one of those. And you kind of, it's like a storytelling series. A bunch of strangers get up and tell stories, mostly about a vulnerable moment or something like that. And that's always a really fun night, but there's also some learning things. There's an adult summer camp. There's a lot of cool stuff. So I encourage you to go to that website and check it out. But continuing our conversation, as we were talking about pushing yourself to try new things and kind of what that catalyst is, we were talking a little bit about sometimes it's a certain birthday that you hit. Sometimes it's a life change. Maybe it's not the life change you thought you'd have, or maybe your friends are having a life change and you aren't, or something like that, that kind of makes you want to do that big eat, pray, love thing and go, you know, shake it up and throw it all out the window and do your own thing. But what do you think, as you see people going through your program, Saya, what do you think is the thing that stops us most from taking risk that we think maybe would just be a fun thing, not like a big professional risk? But I hear people say, gosh, I would love to run a marathon, but I would love to jump out of a plane. But no. You know, there's always a but. What is that thing that you hear the most from people?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that going back to the fear of failure and not only how it makes you feel, but then how other people will think of you if they see you try something and it doesn't work out. Whereas if I see someone do something who is very scared to do that thing and they fail, quote unquote fail, I am in awe that they put themselves in the situation and in the first place. And I'm so inspired and motivated. So I try to get people to flip that script in their head of, you know, if I fail, people are going to think bad of me, to no, absolutely not. And then it's absolutely infectious, where I have had so many people who do one of my things and then tell me afterwards, that encouraged me, that inspired me, even if I, you know, I wasn't the best, I, you know, I didn't do exactly what I wanted, but just the experience of trying something new and something that I had been scared to do, and seeing that, you know what, the world did not end when I didn't do it exactly how I wanted to, that infects them in all areas of their life. And I can't tell you how many stories I have of, oh, I did fear experiment and that gave me the courage to move to Amsterdam and take a job there that I never would have even applied for if I hadn't done fear experiment. Or just being around all these supportive, positive Cheez-Its made me realize that, you know, this thing that has been dangling over my head for years and years and years, something I've wanted to try, that I can, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and try it, whatever it is. So being around supportive people, I think, is and infecting others with that that spirit of, you know, just why not? Just try it.
I love that you call participants in your program that you can find out about it, Mac and Cheese Productions. I love that you call them Cheez-Its. That's so cute and fun. I love that. Hopefully the cracker manufacturer doesn't take issue with that, though.
No, I'm hoping actually they'll sponsor me. Feel free to get in touch.
Aha, even better, even better. Well, it sounds like, you know, a lot of what probably gets in the way for people learning new things, even if it's something fun and joyful, you know, under this idea of summer camp, right? I think sometimes it's the idea that of people that let the perfect become the enemy of the good. And as you said earlier, which I really, really liked, the idea of hanging on to the journey as opposed to the destination. And because sometimes I think we think it's very hard to be a student of something. Once we're out of school, once we're out of student mode, it's very difficult to not be masterful at something quickly. It's very hard to suck at something, right?
In college, college makes it so easy for you, for everything that we've talked about today, for finding friends, finding people to do things with, for learning. And that's one of the main reasons, selfishly, that I started Mac and Cheese, was because once I graduated college and came back to Chicago, I felt that I was losing brain cells every day. And I didn't want to go to grad school and get a master's, but I still wanted the education. And I was like, why, you know, this shouldn't stop just because I graduated from college. I still want that, but without the, you know, the academic environment, so to speak. And also there were just a lot of like real life skills that I didn't have, like, you know, just math, you know, and like check, you know, that's actually, my husband teaches a personal finance class talking about skills that you are embarrassed that you don't have. And it's just personal finance 101 that, again, a lot of people feel like I should have learned this a long time ago. I don't know how to do XYZ, but if I can be in a safe space and ask questions without being judged and be around other people who also have the same inquiries, that, all right, I'm going to go ahead and admit that I need help with it.
Well, so is there a method that, you know, you talked about Fear Experiment, which was a project that is under the Mac and Cheese banner, where it was a specific skill that you would teach people. There was, I think, a cappella singing. There was a couple of types of dancing, things like that.
Stepping, dance, improv, and storytelling.
Right. And so that was, you know, people that went into that program were intimidated to try it, but they knew, I'm just going to wing it, and in 6 or so weeks, I'm going to do this in front of an audience. And that was a big audience. That wasn't just like your family and friends at a recital. That was a big, big theater, which was very cool. But is there a particular method you lean on when you are asking people to learn a completely new skill that's out of their skill set that you found particularly effective?
A couple of things. One is I always reference the PTU, the Perfect Time Unicorn. It does not exist. A lot of people, I feel, keep saying, I'm going to do this when I have more time, when I have more money. Mm. I'm going to ask for that promotion when I've been at the job for a longer time, whatever it is. And I am totally guilty of doing this as well. We keep waiting and waiting
There's
and waiting.
There's never a perfect
time. There's never a perfect time, right? There was... an article that came out a few months ago about they interviewed all these elderly people about their biggest regret. And the biggest regret by far was I waited too long to travel. Mm-hmm. And that to me, we talked earlier about, you know, being on your deathbed and like regret and the what if. And so that is always driving me and getting people to realize perfect time unicorn doesn't exist. Live in the moment, be in the moment, and live for today. And that's, you know, small things like, you know, using your special china or I used to keep all my like hotel shampoos for special occasions. Like, no, not like use it today. You never know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Right. So getting people to live in the moment, be in the moment. And then, I think too that, go big is, you know, kind of cliche, but that is absolutely one I get people to embrace. And it is because I'm very good at, I live what I preach. And an example I always give, there are two examples. When I graduated from college and moved back to Chicago, I had no friends, and except for Monica and Ross and Chandler, and watching Friends reruns, there are better friends out there for me than these people on TV. So I was like, how can I find friends in a fun way where I'll get personal development where I will scare myself? And I had always wanted to do, growing up in Evanston, the Ricky Birdsong 5K, which was named after a horrible incident where Ricky Birdsong was gunned down by... a racist. He was the Northwestern basketball coach. Mm-hmm. When I was growing up in Evanston, and I just had always wanted to run the 5K, but I am a chubby person. I am not very physically fit, and I was like, I've never run more than a mile in my life, but I thought that running the 5K would, you know, give me that the inspiration and positivity that, you know, would make me more interesting and find more friends. But that scared me so much. I was like, and I heard about Team in Training, which is this running program where you get to, yeah, great organization. You raise money for a leukemia society. And so talking about going big, instead of signing up for the 5K, which terrified me, I signed up to do a marathon. And I did the marathon that first year. And I made so many amazing friends, because when you are chafing with other people in spandex and at 7 a.m. on Saturday, that is an amazing bonding experience. And most of us were first timers. Mm-hmm. And I've since done 3 marathons. And, you know, was never, I hate when people ask me what my time was. Who cares? I did a marathon, right? So that, go big. Instead of a 5K, I did a marathon.
I did my first marathon through Team in Training also. And it was, I can't say enough about that organization, because there is a lot of first timers. And there's also this feeling of like, just finish. That's all I want to do is just, and that was my goal. The first one I did, I said, I just want to finish. Absolutely. I don't care how long it takes, as long as I don't get swept off and asked to politely drop out.
Yes,
I'll be all good. We're talking with Saya Hillman. She is the founder of Mac and Cheese Productions, an entire empire of stuff and cool events that's all about challenging people to address their fears and to do a little bit more and live in Technicolor. It's very, very cool. I encourage you to check that out online. Again, that's Mac and Cheese Productions. We're going to take a little break. And when we come back, we're going to keep this conversation going, all about learning new skills and taking risks as an adult. Back in just a bit on 720 WGN. Don't you hesitate. 720 WGN. It's the Saturday Night Special. I'm Amy Guth. Thank you for spending your Saturday with me. I am most grateful. Tonight, we're talking all about the idea of learning new fun skills as an adult, because sometimes we get so caught up in work and learning new skills and systems for work that we don't take a lot of time to learn the fun stuff. Like when we went to summer camp and we had to learn a bunch of different crafts and a bunch of different activities and a bunch of different songs, we don't take as much time, but we all have those things on our bucket list, right? Run a 5K or learn how to oil paint or play an instrument or speak a language or something like that. And so tonight, that's what we're talking all about. We're talking about learning those fun, joyful skills as an adult. And here with us in studio is regular contributor to the show, Saya Hillman. She is the lady behind Mac and Cheese Productions. You can check them out online at macandcheeseproductions.com and on social media. And it's really an organization that is, I'm not even saying organization, because it is an empire, really, that is all about encouraging people to take big risks and do really joyful, cool things and learn new skills. And so many people, how many people have come through your program? Hundreds.
Thousands.
Tons of people.
I know, I pinch myself every day. My husband, I mean, that's how I met him. And yeah, it's amazing.
That's right. He came through. I've heard you tell that story before, that he came to one of your events. And you do a wide variety of events. Some are very clearly addressing fear, some in more subtle ways. But I really enjoy this rule that you have for so many of your events, that you can't show up with a clump of your friends. You have to go by yourself. Mm-hmm. And that there you know, I think you force people to socialize, because it is very easy to go to an event with friends and not talk to anybody there, because you're just kind of in your own bubble.
It's a security blanket, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Which I think is such a big part. I mean, I think that's what we're really getting at here, is the big part of even something that seems like an innocuous thing without a lot of risk attached to it. I think it's things that we put off sometimes because we may not be good at it right away. We may not be good at it at all. The people there are people there that we don't know. And, you know, sometimes little things like that can add up to be a big old fear monster and take a lot of stuff out of us and stop us from doing something for years and years and years on end. So how do you, like, once you decide, you know, something you want to, a new skill you want to tackle, a new hobby you want to get, a fear you want to address, something like that, what is your advice to people, having taken so many people through that process, to stay motivated when it's discouraging? I think because especially it's hard. And I think for an adult, we tend to want to be defensive when we're not good at something right away. So how do you stay both open and really, really motivated?
Yeah, I think a couple of things there. One would be that if you're already scared to do something, you want to make it less scary for yourself. So how, and also easy for yourself, right? You alluded to, there's these things that we want to do for years and years and years, and we keep putting them off. And so one of the things I think that I'm good at is handing people on a silver platter, here's a thing that you've always wanted to do, and I am making it so simple and easy for you. So for example, for me, I always wanted to do public speaking, and I would be a presenter. And the first time that I did it, I knew that an audience filled with my loved ones would freak me out more than an audience filled with strangers. And so I did a presentation here in Chicago called Pachacacha, and I told absolutely nobody about it ahead of time. And that made me feel more comfortable in front of the 200 people. And then I did it, and it was great. And I was a rock star, and people came up to me afterwards and like kept asking me, how can I get in touch with you? And you're so cool. And I was like, oh, this, I am hooked. I want to do this over and over and over. And then I started inviting people to things that that I was doing. So again, the way that I had the courage to do it was I made something that was scary to me a little less scary. So how can you make it easier on yourself? How can you make it less scary? And then I think another thing is, how can you turn something that you're embarrassed about, shameful, have shame about, how can you turn your flaws, your crap, into gold? I always talk about how can you embrace your suckage? You've heard me say that before, right? And so for me, growing up, I had no self-confidence at all. I never tried anything that was out of my comfort zone. And I basically grew a personality in college when I started realizing that the things that I viewed as flaws or as negatives, actually, you know what, if I own them and celebrated them, and whatever they are, whether they're, you know, stretch marks, whether they're a stuttering problem, what can you turn that into a positive thing for yourself? And so for I'll give an embarrassing example with stretch marks. For me, I don't know what possessed me, but one time I was giving a speech in front of 300 people, and the first thing I talked about was my stretch marks, and you could feel the entire audience was on my side when I said that, and especially the women in the audience, who, you know, we've all been there and we've all have body issues, whatever. But that was a way for me to turn this thing that was a secret shame for me, and I made it a public shame, but it was a good thing.
Some degree of openness, yes, you'd say, is necessary for not being defensive, and it probably deflates some of that fear. But then what about staying motivated? Is there a particular book that you've looked to, or a quote or something like that, that you, you know, would recommend to somebody that's really good, you know, keep you focused? One that I like, I really like, and it's a little bit hokey sometimes, but it's a good book. I like The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron. That's one I've read a couple of times in my life, because it points out things that make you go, oh yeah, duh, I do that. Or, oh yeah, duh, that's a thing. I should be more conscious of that. I think it just kind of breaks down pieces of your life. And I've never gotten very far into that book. I've read it several times and reread it, rather. And I never get very far into it without having a good idea of something I should be doing. Because I think it's a book that makes you kind of excavate yourself a little bit and makes you really reflect on what you want to do. And so I think it's an interesting book because it, while a little bit hokey, kind of serious sometimes, it has a lot of interesting writing prompts that I think help people to focus on they want.
Yeah. I can't attribute this to anybody. I don't know who said it. But the quote of, you know, what if I stumble? Oh, my darling. But what if you fly? Mm-hmm. And yeah, that completely, that philosophy, just try. If you stumble, you know, it's a part of the process and the beauty. And then I actually just finished reading Shonda Rhimes's Year of Yes book that everybody's talking about this past year, where she said her sister made her realize that she had been saying no to every single thing, to party invitations, to herself, to et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so for a year, she decided to say yes to everything, and it completely changed her life. And I felt like, oh, she stole my idea. Life of yes is my thing. But it was really cool to amen and nod my head through this whole book of, what happened when you switch your brain to just try and say yes to things. It's amazing the magic that can happen.
There's an author, she wrote a memoir called Gluten Free Girl, and it was her journey through getting like her celiac diagnosis and falling in love with a chef and doing all this stuff. But she had a similar revelation in her life about how much she was saying no. And so she has a very, very tiny little tattoo on her wrist. It's so tiny, it almost looks like a freckle. It just says yes in kind of a pretty typewriter font. That she said, I put it there just so I would remember to keep it in front of me. Let that be your default. Let that be your default answer to things. Well, I think it's all very important to challenge ourselves and to think very big about the things we do to challenge ourselves. But I also think it's really important to, you know, not every big thing on our bucket list has to be giant, right? Sometimes it's just learning how to sew. You know, I know someone who just said, I just want to learn how to hem my own skirts because they're always too long. And sometimes, you know, it's little stuff like that that I think can have a much bigger impact than we realize, because they both deflate something that we're probably beating ourselves up about, like, oh, I never learned to ride a bike, or I never learned how to sew, or whatever, but also gives you another tool in your toolbox with which to be great and to be confident. And as you were saying earlier, Sai, I think it does bleed over into our professional lives and help us to be just confident in other ways. So my friends, Sai Hillman has been with us for this conversation. We're going to continue this conversation with a couple of other people. We're going to talk to a musician and to a very, very kick-ass lady who trains people to do very, very big triathlons. So we're going to be talking with them here in just a little bit about some skills that they have and some their ideas for learning new skills. And so in the meantime, though, you can check out everything that Sai does at macandcheeseproductions.com and find out all about her upcoming events. Thank you so much for being with us, Sai. We will see you next time on the program. We'll be back in just a bit here on 720 WGN.